we plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode. If you've been listening to the show for a while and you haven't yet left us a review in iTunes, we'd love it if you would log into their clunky interface and give us 5 stars, even if you aren't able to write a full comment with the review. You can just click the 5 stars. We have several really cool reviews from some folks. Maybe we'll read them in a future episode, but it'd be nice to hear from more of you or just see your feedback. It helps us rank higher in iTunes, helps us get more listeners, and frankly, helps keep us motivated to do the podcast.
I love that whenever you talk about this, you only talk about 5-star reviews. So basically, if you're not going to give us a 5-star review,
then
don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Forget it. Just ignore it.
That's all I'm willing to accept. So I sold Hittail.
Yeah, I heard about that.
You heard about it, or you lived through it and you lived to tell about it after it's all done?
I think I'm still bleeding a little.
You didn't just hear about it. You endured it. I think that's the proper verb.
I have some wrinkles and sleep deprivation bags under my eyes.
I name this gray hair due diligence. Yeah, so I sold Hittail. It is a software as a service app. It's an SEO keyword tool. And I purchased it August of 2011. I think I started talking to the owner about it in April of that year. So I owned it a little more than 4 years. And the decision to sell it took me a long time.
At least a year. The decision to sell took at least a year. I remember us talking about it extensively when we were in Thailand, which was a little more than a year ago. But I think that you talked about it on your retreat 2 years ago. And you came home and said, I think I might sell Hittail.
I think you're right.
And at that time, I kind of asked a little bit about the revenue and the amount of work that you were putting into. And I was kind of like, why would you do that?
Right.
It's a healthy app. It's making a lot of money. It doesn't require a lot of work. Seems like you would just want to hold on to that baby. But over time, the picture changed a little bit. And your desire to have more focus on the other parts of your work life also changed. You wanted to focus more on Drip.
Exactly.
So it made sense to continue to revisit, or it made sense to revisit the thought of selling it.
Yeah, especially as over time, most apps will gradually degrade. And so if you let them sit for 2 years and you're not investing any time in it, like I was doing, you do see the revenue fall off. You do see some cruft start to develop. You do see things break now and again, and they pull you away from your main focus. And that's what I started seeing in it. To be honest, I felt guilty watching the revenue slide a little bit every month, every 2 months. You know, it would drop and it felt like I wasn't giving this application that has all this potential. It doesn't just have potential. I mean, it was doing a lot of revenue for many, many months. It funded all types of stuff, angel investments that I made. And it kind of changed my game financially. And it funded all the development of Drip. It allowed Derek and I to essentially work on it full time. And we were basically drawing salaries off of Hittail. And when I sold it, it wasn't like it was in shambles, or it wasn't like it wasn't doing any revenue. I got a good chunk of money for it, but it was down quite a bit from its peak. And that nagged at me every month when I saw the revenue at the end of the month.
It was also your first big venture. I mean, it was the big check that you wrote. And you've talked about this approach that you've had. We've talked about it. We talked about it last week when we talked about onboarding your spouse, how you're moving from smaller and smaller investments and smaller apps to bigger apps. And Hittail was the big one. That was the big check that you wrote that you had a little panic attack about. And I remember that conversation after you wrote the check thinking, oh my goodness, I've made a giant mistake. I can't believe I'm spending this much money on this app. There were all of those, like this sort of wave of fears that came over you right after you wrote that check. And I remember saying, hey, this is just what you do. So Hittail, I think, is kind of emotionally significant because it signaled such a shift in your career.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good summary of it, because I had a bunch of apps and websites before that, and I was kind of known as the micro guy, where I had a bunch of like a portfolio of different things making money, and they ranged from several hundred a month to 5,000, 6,000 a month, depending. Maybe there was some that did 7 or 8, but nothing was truly substantial. And Hittail was me stair-stepping up. That's what I call it. And I wanted it to be that 5 or 10x all of my previous efforts, because I wanted to do that hard learning, the stuff that grinds at you and that takes months to get and is painful to do. But when you come out the other side, you have experience that you can't get any other way. And I really was thirsting for that at this point in 2011. I was actually coming off 8 to 10 months of basically working as little as possible. I kind of built the 4-hour work week, except I was working, let's say, 12 hours, 16 hours a week, because we had our youngest and in 2010. And I really enjoyed hanging out with him. And I think I had him 3 full days a week. And then the other 2 days I was working. So whatever, 12 to 16 hours. And I hit the point where I was just ready to do that next thing. And I had a lot of motivation and I was thinking of a lot of different ideas, whether I should build something, whether I should buy something. And so finding that next thing, that's what Hittail was for me, was that opportunity to do something way bigger. And I remember being really ready to do it and also really scared of doing it.
So how did you end up finding Hittail? How did Hittail enter your life? You thought a lot about whether you wanted to build something or to buy something.
And I knew that I wanted to buy something because I'd had not only success with that in the past, but it's the way to leapfrog and not have to spend 12 to 18 months just toiling away, writing code and then trying to find product market fit. And if you can find something that already has it and acquire it, it's just so much faster and so much less pain. So I really did want to buy something, but I was having trouble finding anything worth buying that was that much bigger than what I had already done. That was the trick. And so I sent a bunch of cold emails to some older SaaS apps that I had used or that were dying. I mean, I just kind of went around. I went through my Rolodex of apps that I had logins for and looked at the ones that were kind of looking long in the tooth. And it was a luck shot, I mean, bottom line.
And it was the biggest check you'd written.
Yep.
In your life.
That's right. Yeah, the biggest single check came out of the business account, of course, but brought the balance pretty low. And it all made sense until the day where I actually had to wire the money. And then it was a little bit of a panic attack of like, what am I doing? What happens if this goes away? What if I can't pull this off and can't improve this app? Because I will be kind of starting from scratch. I had saved that money over the previous year or 2 years, maybe. I don't remember how long, but it was really a large bucket of money to me. And I was kind of going all in on this one.
And right after you acquired it, it also required you to go all in on your time.
That's
right. You've kind of been on this extended paternity leave, like chilling with the baby, not working very much. And then that shifted pretty drastically right after you bought it.
Yep. I stepped up to somewhere around 60-hour weeks. I had a few weeks that were actually more time than that. I really enjoyed it at the time because I was doing something for me. It wasn't like I was slogging away on a job. And I was enjoying just improving this app. I was fixing bugs, ripping out features that no one was using, and redesigning the thing, stabilizing it. But it was a couple months of long, long weeks. I remember working till 2-3 in the morning many times. And I also invested a bunch more money. I wound up having some more income come in during that time and wrote another $10,000 or $20,000 in checks to a designer and got to revamp the UI and some other stuff. So it was definitely a big investment of time for me. And then I wound up relaunching it in 2012, in January. And there was a bunch of toil went with that, right? It like didn't grow right away. It took 4 or 5 months to really start getting some traction and for me to figure out exactly how to do it. But once it started growing, it had a really nice curve. And that felt exhilarating. Like that was such a neat thing to see it go from $1,500 a month to $2,500 a month to $5,000 to $8,000 to $10,000. I mean, I had never grown an app quite like that at that speed. And, you know, ultimately to the level that it got, it was the largest revenue app I'd had to that point.
With that many zeros.
Exactly. And it did so many things for me in retrospect. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was a bit of a challenge to let go and why it took me so long to make the decision.
I mean, whether you want it to be this way or not, like there is this attachment to this thing that you've spent so much time on and that has been such a part of your life and your identity for a couple of years. We've mentioned this already, but Hittail was really a transition from these smaller apps to kind of like bigger dollars, bigger challenges, bigger zeros. And it built a lot of confidence in you as you saw the success of this app.
That's right. And historically bought and sold a lot of apps, built, bought, sold. I mean, I have let them come in and out of my life pretty freely. I'm not the person who has that one business they do for 50 years and it's their identity. So I was surprised that it took me so long and that it was so hard to decide to sell it. I was also surprised that once I decided to sell it and we were in due diligence and escrow and kind of getting rid of it, that I did experience a feeling of loss or of just, I'm not sure how to quite feel about this at at the end of that, and maybe we can talk a little more about that towards the end of the episode, but Hittail did, it built several things for me. I mean, it built my confidence in my abilities. I'd already been marketing successfully. I'd been writing, and you know, we had the academy. We'd had the first MicroConf in April of that year, 2011. I actually think I sent the original cold email like a week before the first MicroConf, and then the deal closed maybe 3-4 months later because we negotiated for a while. And so things were already in the works, but it definitely built my confidence in my ability to execute. It built my experience. I mean, the first SaaS app you grow like this, you just learn a ton about it. I got to run some great experiments that I just wouldn't have had the experience to do otherwise. I also think it had a pretty big impact on my reputation. I was able to tell the story on my blog, which went to the top of Hacker News, and then at MicroConf, being able to kind of give updates and talk about what I was doing and how I was trying things and what they were doing. And I felt a shift. I moved from being the micro guy with these little one-off sales and doing all the SEO and the tactics into someone who knew more about this stuff, just had more experience with it, because there aren't that many people that have done this.
And Hittail also really shifted our personal finances.
Yeah, what was interesting is that our finances were fine before Hittail. You've had a full-time job for years, and I was basically making a full-time income doing that 12 to 16-hour week thing.
And it was sort of after you were on this paternity leave and sort of ready to figure out what was next for you that we had a conversation that seems like it was pretty key. And it was kind of this conversation about we can go along like this for a long time, like spending a lot of time taking care of our kids and just have this kind of very pretty relaxed lifestyle. But you kind of asked, like, you wanted to do something more. You wanted a bigger challenge. You were getting antsy. Your brain was getting atrophy a little bit. And then you also asked me this question about money. Like, what would we do with more money if we had more money? We have enough to live on comfortably, but if we had more, what would we do? And I think that conversation seemed like it was kind of pivotal in terms of your decision to pursue Hittail as heavily as you did.
It absolutely did, because I didn't want to do another small app, doing another app that made $5,000 a month or whatever. It wasn't interesting anymore. And I wanted this new challenge, but I didn't just want to go do it for the challenge's sake, because I knew it would require some 60-hour weeks. I knew it would require some sacrifices and a shift of our family life. In essence, I stopped being with our little guy 3 days a week. I still hung out with the kids a little bit, but I mean, things shifted. And in order to do that, I was having a hard time justifying that just purely for kind of personal enlightenment, you know, or personal learning.
And just so for the fun of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like. It felt a little self-indulgent of like, I'm going to kind of shift this whole thing from not working very much to basically working a lot and diving in really hard into something. Now, what was nice is I worked a lot for a short period, and then it went back to basically what, 35, 40 hour weeks. So it wasn't totally unreasonable, but it was a shift for us. It was hard to go back to that. And so we were just in a long conversations, brainstorming, talking about stuff. And I think the question that I asked was, what would having more money allow us to do? Because frankly, to me, we're living in this house and we're having fun and we go to the coast, stay in a hotel when we want to. And it's just kind of like, I didn't want money for money's sake. Like, what would that allow us to do? And you had a bunch of really ingenious ideas, and you talked about things like,
and I rattled them off fast.
You did, as if they were right at the tip of your tongue. It was hilarious. Be more generous was the first one. You talked about we could travel more, and we have done that. Like, starting in 2013, we go out of the country for a month every year, right? To Europe or Thailand or whatever it is. We bring the kids with us. I mean, I don't think we could have done that without Hittail. We wouldn't have had the revenue to do it. Talk about saving for the kids' college. You mentioned having more control of our schedules, a little more flexibility to hire more help around the house, and to maybe not have to work as much if we perhaps didn't want to. And then we talked about, I don't know if you brought this one up, but I certainly thought about it. It was like, just feel more security about the financial present, the financial future. So it's not just like, ah, we're getting by, but it's like, if something did happen, if there was a recession, if one of us got hurt or sick, that there is something you don't have to actively worry about right now if that were to happen. And after that conversation, it changed my view. It changed my game. And I realized I really want to do this for the self, kind of the learning and the improvement that it's going to do for me. But I also realized that having a bit more money would actually change our game and allow us to do things that we hadn't experienced before.
And another component of that you didn't know at the time, but what ultimately happened is that Hittail funded Drip. Hittail made enough for you to begin the development on Drip and And now that's your next big thing.
And it allowed me to do something else that I'm really enjoying, which is to angel invest and to essentially angel invest slash advise other startups. Kind of, they're kind of like bootstrap startups that self-funded, although they're raising these very small rounds. But I've really enjoyed that. And my entire involvement with Bitwise here in town in Fresno, of basically this tech cluster that we have, this building with a bunch of software companies. I'm part of that because of the money that I was able to make here. Maybe I would have been able to scrape that together without Hittail. I might have scraped together, but I wouldn't be involved to the same degree as I am without having had that success.
Okay, we have to pause the podcast for a moment because our five-year-old has just grabbed a Sharpie.
This is not good.
You can always trade five highlighters for one Sharpie.
Yeah, for sure.
So getting back to the Hittail discussion, the sale process was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, you kind of decided that you were going to sell Hittail last summer, if I remember correctly, and then you were beginning to research how you wanted to do that and then began to fill out the paperwork through FE International while we were in Europe, which was probably not the best plan.
It was shockingly time consuming. I had no idea it was going to take. I mean, I think I spent 8 to 12 hours over the course of several days because I never had a long span to work. So I would do it like an hour here, 2 hours there, because I just had to, I had to dig up all these analytics and these numbers and all kinds of stuff. Their questionnaire was very thorough up front to save time later, but it was painful. And for some reason, it was stressing me out when I was doing it.
You had some urgency to it. You really wanted it done. You wanted it done before we came home.
I actually wanted it done before we left, and I wasn't able to do that.
Didn't happen.
So then I was there in Europe and at nights trying to fill this paperwork out in these 30 to 60 minute chunks.
And that was one of the major stressors that was really making you crazy when the internet wasn't as fast or as reliable as we all wanted it to be. So the sale process, at least from my observational end, was much more stressful than the buying process, to be honest. Like when you bought it, it was this sort of panic moment and then a lot of hard work. But I felt like there was a lot of stress and anxiety that went into the sale process that was sort of unforeseen, at least for me.
I think it was the preparation for the sale process, because that part I was not having fun. Now, once that was all filled out, there were just a few questions here and there. I wasn't stressed about those. And then we do a bunch of phone calls and demos and that kind of stuff. None of those were stressful. So we got back from Europe, and then it was, 2 months or something till I had an offer. And that really wasn't that big of a deal. I shouldn't say 2 months till I had an offer. It was 2 months till I had the offer that I accepted, because there were a number of offers coming through at the time. And I frankly was not that stressed during that time about it. But then it ramped up again once basically we got into due diligence, right? Which is a couple weeks long. And I knew I wanted to get it done because we have a bunch of stuff going on right now in terms of putting our house on the market and all this other transitional stuff. And it was going okay until the actual transfer started. And then that week was a challenge.
So all things considered, what are some of your takeaways from this experience? Besides the bank you made on Hittail, what has stayed with you? What are the lessons that you're carrying from having done it?
I wrote a few of these up in a blog post last week. I think one of them is that this stair-step approach is really alive and well, and that it's, for someone like me, it is probably the optimal way. It may not be the fastest path to getting to where you want to go, but it is, I feel like it is just so predictable, and it's such the logical way to get there. It's to just level up a piece at a time, and you gain that confidence and the experience and a reputation and an audience, and you gain some money, and you put all that together, and then you just, from one to the next, instead of trying to launch Drip. Like, imagine if I'd tried to launch Drip back in 2011 or in 2009, it would have been really, really hard, if not impossible. I don't know if I could have pulled it off at all, but certainly not to the level that I've been able to do it, just because I didn't have all those tools in the tool belt that I learned through the previous apps. And it was much less stressful than trying to do it. If you try to do it in 2009 on no budget, you're either trying to raise funding or you're working these 80-hour weeks for no pay, and you don't have the experience, so it's taking you way longer. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the confidence that you're actually going to do it, so the whole time you're second-guessing yourself. I mean, that's, by the time we were doing Drip, I had way, way more confidence. There were some times that were hard when we weren't growing, but I had the confidence that I was going to get there. Like, it really had solidified. And that's what I think stair-stepping does, is it builds you up gradually and doesn't just force you to kind of jump in the lake of fire.
Has it been hard to let it go?
I mean, hard is like a relative thing. It isn't as if it was the one company that I'd started and I owned it for 20 years and it's my identity. But, for a while there, it was my was a big piece of who I was. I mean, that was the thing that I talked about at conferences, and a lot of people associate the app with me. So I feel like when it closed, I was relieved, and it's a great feeling. And then a few days later, someone asked me how it felt, and all I could answer was, I don't know. I don't know how it feels. Does it feel good to have some money in the bank? Yeah, it does. I feel like I should feel great, and I feel good about it, but I feel like I almost need distance from it to kind of process it. I think, to be honest, I asked Thomas at FE International early on, or we were chatting, and I said, yeah, I'm really looking forward to having a little bit of money and then the focus that it will lend, having it not interfere with other things that I'm doing. And he said, yeah, in my experience with all the people who do stuff like this, who are basically trying to pare down a portfolio, that it's actually the focus that's the more important thing, or the more valuable thing, is just being able to gain a single focus instead of having to worry about all these apps all the time.
And if the topic of focus is interesting to you, make sure you listen next week, because I think we're going to spend most of the podcast talking about focus and simplicity and the ways that those decisions toward more focus can really streamline and simplify life. Hey, and as always, we want to say thank you to our patrons, to those of you who have been supporting the show financially, paying for our editor, Josh. He's awesome. And also just helping us to have a little bit more time and quality to give to the show. We have all kinds of ideas of other things that we would like to do. So if you are enjoying the show and it's working for you, then we'd love to have your support. So you can visit supportzenfounder.com and sign up there to become one of the show's patrons.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.